We continue discussing the siege of Sanherib on Chizkiyahu in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Dalamud Beis on the fourth line, the fourth wide line, not the widest line. So when the lines start getting a little bit wider, the Gemara says, Ba Navi Va'amar Le. So the Navi said to Sanherib. Yeshayahu the Navi said to Sanherib, Ki lo mu'af l'asher mutzak la. Amar Rav Elazar ben Berechia, what does this mean, Ki lo mu'af? Ein nimsar am oyef batorah, that someone who is mu'af, someone who is exhausted from studying Torah, will not be given over l'asher mutzak la, b'yan mihametzik la, in the hands of someone who's trying to oppress him. Now, there's because the Jewish people are studying Torah, so then they're not going to be defeated by Sancheiriv. And the Gemara explains the end of this pasuk. My koes harishon. The end of the pasuk says, "My koes harishon heikal arta zvulun v'arta naftoli v'achron ichbi derech hayom evar yaden glo hagoyim." So he's saying. So the Gemara says, what this means: lo karishonim. The generation of Chizkiyahu is not like the first, the earlier tribes that were exiled, the 10 tribes. What's referred because they are the rishon heikelu. Me'alem ol Torah, that they made the burden of Torah light from them. They didn't need it. So therefore, that the Rishon, the first ones, that Zvulu, Naphtali, so those, they were part of the 10 tribes, and they were exiled. But the Achron, Hichbit, right? Aval Achron, Shichbit, Alem ol Torah, but the later ones, the nation of Chizkiyahu, that they bore the weight of Torah. So they're fitting to have the miracles of the Yamsuf or the Jordan River splitting. And then the pasuk continues. The end of the pasuk, Glul Hagoyim, it means say im chozer bo mutav, if Sancheiriv returns and doesn't attack Yerushalayim, that's good, he won't be punished. But if not, ani eselo glil bagoyim, he will turn Sancheiriv into a glil bagoyim. He will be ashamed. He will be like Galil Bagoyim. Either Rashi says that at least one explanation to Rashi is he's gonna roll around in shame, or it's gonna be like Galalim, like animal dung. In other words, if he doesn't turn back now, he's gonna be disgraced. Now this prophecy about the fact that Chizkiyahu and his generation, they're learning Torah, and therefore that they're fit to have all these wonderful miracles happen to them, like so the end of the pasuk says, I'm going to make him a Galil Bagoyim. So the Ben Yoda says that Galil can mean Gimel Lael. There are three nights in Tanakh where these were times of redemption and times of success. The night when Avraham Avinu chased the four kings, Vayechalek Aleihem Laila. So that was on the night. And you also have the Yetzias Mitzrayim was on the night of the, also at night when they were redeemed. And also, the story of Chizkiyahu also happened at night. These all happened on the night of the 15th of Nisan. And in fact, in the paragraph in Nirtza, in the Haggadah, we say in Vahiba Chatzi Alayla, there's a line Ya'atz Mechorif Lenofev Ivui Hovasha Pagora Balayla, that the blasphemer Sancheiriv thought to raise his hand against the beloved city, but you dried up the bodies of his fallen in the night. Now, the Gemara now continues and says Achrid Vamaela Vemes Aela Bol Sancheiriv Melech Hashuv Yevobi Yehuda Vichan Alarum Abtziros Vomer Levikamelav. After these things and the truth, and these truths, so Sancheiriv, the king of Ashur, came, and he came to Yehuda, and Vayichan al harim habtzurot v'yom levi kamelav, and he camped by these fortified cities, and he said we should split them. So Gemara says, "Hi Rishna lahai par doshna." I understand. Is it fit to bring this gift to someone important like this? There is because. After these things, meaning after Chizkiyahu and his nation were occupying themselves in Torah, so this is going to result in Sancheiriv attacking them. So the Gemara explains, no, this is how you explain the pasuk. What does it mean? Achri advar ma'emes my acher. Om Ravina la'achar shekavetz kodesh baruch hu v'nishma. After God jumped and issued an oath. The MS refers to God, because the seal of God is truth. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Omar, God said, if I were to tell Chizkiah, I'm going to bring Sancheirav to attack you, but I'm going to give him over into your hands. So Hashta Amar, so now Chizkiah will say, Lohu ba'ina v'lo bi'asusa b'ina. I don't want him. Even if we're going to win, I don't want him. I don't want the fear that's going to come from him. Beyond Kafas Kadosh Baruch Hu Benishba Debay Sidalei. At that moment, God jumped up and he swore that he's going to bring Sancheirav Shedemar Nishba Hashem Tzvakos Lebor. Yimlok Hashem Dibisi Kate Hoysav Achashi Yatzik He's Sakub. So I swear that I'm going to do this. It's going to happen. Lishpor Ashur Barzi to destroy Ashur my land. Valhori Avusenu. And on the mountain Avusenu, we'll explain that pasuk in a second. V'sar me'alem ulo v'subala me'al shichbo yasur. We're going to remove the yoke of Asher from the neck. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Chizkiah to deal with Sancheirav. Chizkiah would have said no, so Hashem brought him anyway. So what's this? Avus amar v'yochanan amar Kadosh Baruch Hu yavos Sancheirav v'siyaso v'yaseh avus Chizkiah ulisiyaso. That Sancheirav will come and he will become an avus, like a trough for Chizkiah in his camp. Rashi says that it'll be Nevus, that they're going to, all the soldiers are going to die, and they're going to feed the corpses to the horses. The Marsha says that, no, what they're going to do is, since the whole army's going to die, so then they're going to have all these spoils, and that's, the spoils are what the Jewish people are going to get. That's the Avus. In any case, the pasuk continues. V'haya b'yom ha'hu yasur subalo be'al shichbecha v'lo be'al tzavrecha v'chubal ol b'pnei shabbat. And the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, there'll be that day that the yoke of Sancheirav will basically be removed from your neck, and the yoke from your shoulder, from your neck. Why b'pnei shamen? Because of the oil. So I'm reviewing some napcha. What does this mean? Chubal or Sancheirav mipnei shamlo shechizkiyah sheradolk bavati kinesiv bati midrashos. The yoke of Sancheirav will be destroyed because of the oil of Chizkiyah, that he would light the candles in the shuls and the bati midrash. Ma'asa, what did Chizkiyah do? No, it's Sancheirav al pesach beis midrash. He stuck a sword by the opening of the beis midrash. V'amar, and he said, "Kol mishen osik b'torah yudak b'cheirav." Anyone who does not occupy himself in Torah will be pierced with this sword. So Bat could be done by Be'er Sheva. They searched from Dan to Be'er Sheva. Avalo Matzu. Am Haaretz Migvas van Antipras. They didn't find someone who was ignorant from Gvas until Antipras. Avalo Matzu Tino Fid Hinokos. Ish Vishal Shal Yubaki and Behilkos Tumotara. They couldn't find anyone who wasn't an expert in Tumotara. Valoso Ador Hu Omer, and regarding that generation, it was said, Vayavamahu Yechai Ish Eglas Bakor Shte Tzod. That a person will keep alive one cow and two sheep. That they're not, because they're socked by the Torah, they're not going to try to accumulate a lot of animals. Vomer, the Pasuk also will say, and the Pasuk also says, Vayabimahu Yel Koba Koba Shiyah Shab Elef Gefen Belef Kesef Lashabir Velashayisiyah. That, what does this mean? Avapisha Elef Gefen Belef Kesef. Even though you can get, for 1,000 vines, you can get 1,000 silver pieces. You get a lot of money. But nevertheless, they're not working the land, they're not working the vines, and instead there will be thorns growing because they just want to occupy themselves in Torah, and they weren't interested in growing a lot of crops. But this is a very fascinating Gemara, because this Gemara seems to say that Chizkiyahu threatened with death, those people who wouldn't study Torah. So first of all, why did he stick the sword by the opening of the base medrash? In other words, why did he threaten those in the base medrash? Why not elsewhere? So in the Shut Chavatel Tashalon, Tinina Yudbeis, he says, those people, Jews who are in the theater, threatening them is not going to do anything because they're not interested. It would only work for those who are in the base medrash. The question is, why is he threatening them? Why is he threatening them with death? Since when does the failure to study Torah result in death? So the Marsha basically says that if you don't study, you're like an Ovei Kochavim, you're like an idolater, and
he should be punished with the sword. So he really did threaten them with death, as it were. But the other Mefarshim say differently, that the message is not that he's going to kill those people who don't study Torah, but that no one else, the Faith Talmud said that only Torah can save from Sancheirim. Sancheirim has captured the rest of the world. We're going to die unless we do something different. And the only thing we can do is study Torah. Once you study Torah, then we'll be saved. And he's saying anyone who doesn't study Torah will be pierced by the sword of Sancheirim, because Torah is what can save us. Perhaps Faith Talmud also says that maybe that it was a real threat, because since Chizkiyahu issued an edict, you have to study Torah, so anyone who didn't is like rebelling against the king and deserves a death penalty. But it seems very likely that what he's really saying is that Torah, at the end of the day, protects us. And it's not that it's going to be the sword of Chizkiyahu that's going to kill them, but the sword of Sancheirim. And what's interesting is that the result of this Torah study is that there was a religious revolution. There's a tshuva in the Meshiv Dover, the Netziv writes the following, that he talks about how, at the end of the day, Chizkiyahu had a much more successful religious revolution than Asa and Yehoshaphat, who were also good kings. Asa and Yehoshaphat were wonderful, were good kings for Malchei Yehuda, but there were still bamos, these backyard altars that existed during their reign. But Chizkiyahu's reign was a time where all the bubbles were destroyed. Now, why is that? So Netziv writes, it's because of the Torah. Because at the end of the day, even if you're studying Torah for ulterior motives, ulterior reasons, because Chizkiyahu said, if you don't study, you're going to be killed. So according to the Netziv, this is literal. So they were studying Torah for ulterior motives. But nevertheless, this resulted in greater observance in halacha. And he says the following, that sometimes people think, who don't study Torah, they think, Rachmana liba bai, Hashem just wants my heart, and whatever I think God wants is true. And so therefore, they do a lot of wrong things. But if you study Torah, even for ulterior motives, you know what the halacha is, you know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu really wants, and you will become more observant. And there's a sefer by a Rabbi Moshe Scherer. He asked the question, why does Chizkiyahu write on the base medrash, why does he say anyone who does not osik b'Torah will be pierced with a sword, and not someone who doesn't learn Torah? And he explains that the goal is that it's not simply you're going to learn Torah and then leave, and then not think about Torah afterwards. To be osik b'Torah means that you study the Torah, and then throughout your daily life, you're involved in making Torah decisions. And again, this is the idea of that Torah study led to an being osik b'Torah and a religious revolution. The Chashukei Chemed has an interesting shaila. He says, is a teacher allowed to embarrass a female student who is not being successful in her learning? And normally speaking, you shouldn't be embarrassing students, but maybe if there's a mitzvah to train them to go on the right path, and the only way you can do so is to teach them, is to perhaps embarrass them a bit, so maybe it's permitted. The question is, what about, again, maybe male students are obligated in Torah study, but what about female students? Is there maybe there's no obligation for a young woman to learn Torah, and therefore since they don't need to learn Torah, so maybe you're not allowed to embarrass them if they're slacking off in their studies. So he answers, no. He says, number one is, if it's halacha, then a woman's obligated to learn halacha just like a man. He quotes Sefer Chassidim that a man is obligated to teach his daughters the halachos. And additionally, he says more than that. He says also nowadays, the Chofetz Chaim says that nowadays that it's a mitzvah to teach women Chumash and Nevi'im and Ksuvim and Musrei Chazal, works like Pirkei Avos, and in order to build them up spiritually. So if the goal of the teacher is to build them up spiritually and they're slacking off, the only way to get them to study better is if by embarrassing a bit, then it would be permitted. But this is the idea that in our Gemara it says, he proves from our Gemara, because our Gemara said that it wasn't just men, but it were also women who were experts in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. So therefore, we see the idea of the women have this chiyuv, certainly at least to learn the Torah, the material, the halachos that are relevant to them. And if you think about the success of Chizkiyahu, but also maybe the failure of the generation, we saw that previous year that there was a failure to sing Shira, right? So the generation of Chizkiyahu reached a certain level that they were scared, they were forced in a sense, or pressured in a sense, to study Torah, which led to a religious revolution. But maybe that's only based on Yira, on fear. But they didn't have maybe the Ava. They weren't going to sing to God. They only had the Yira, not the Ava. And that's why ultimately Chizkiyahu couldn't become the Mashiach. But this certainly was a very strong generation. So the Gemara
concludes in this story, and he says, "V'usav shalalchem osef hechasil." It says that Amar lahem and the spoils will be gathered like the locust. Amar lahem Navi l'Yisrael. The Navi said to Yisrael, "Isfu shalalchem, go gather the spoils of the soldiers of Sancheir." Below they said to him, "Leave zod olachlok. Should we just everyone should take whatever they want, or should they split it equally?" Amar lahem, he said to them, "Osef hechasil." Like the way the locusts gather. Ma osif chasil kol echad be'echad. That's what you think by the locusts. Each one takes for itself. Avshlachim kol echad be'echad la'atzmo. So two, take the spoils, whatever you want. Arulo v'alo mamon shalasar sashvatim urbo. But isn't the property of the 10 tribes mixed in it? Because Sancheirev conquered the 10 tribes. And they probably got some of their wealth. So if we're taking Sancheirev's wealth, then we're taking the wealth of the 10 tribes. So Amalahem said to that, Kamasha gave him shokikbo, like the sound of the pipes of water that spring from the ground. So he says that it's as if there was hashaka, as if spring water flowed on it and made it pure again. I gave him halalu malimas adam mitum latar, just like springs of water, right? They can elevate a person who immerses in them from a state of tumah to tara. It's also the money of the Jewish money that once it fell in the hands of the non-Jew, it immediately became tara. Kidra pap. Okay, and
so basically, even though the 10 tribes, this is Jewish money, but once the non-Jews took it, so then it no longer, the 10 tribes don't have a claim in it. And therefore, when Chizkiyahu's people took it, they weren't taking from the non-Jew. There's actually an interesting question, which is, must you return money that an odd Jew stole from another Jew? So if a non-Jew steals money from a Jew, so do we assume that the Jew gave up hope? And therefore, when a Jew then takes the money from the non-Jew, does he have to give it back to the original Jew, right? In other words, a non-Jew took money from Reuven. Shimon got the money from the non-Jew. Does he have to return it to Reuven? So the Be'er Sheva wants to use our Gemara that says that he doesn't, he does not have to return the money because the non-Jew essentially the non-Jew purified the money once he took it, because the Jew gave up hope for it at that point in time. So that's what the Be'er Sheva said. However, the Tashbetz disagrees. He says, no, this is a separate halacha. This halacha, because once Sancheirev conquered it, it was kibush, he conquered it, so therefore he acquired all their property and it became his. But in general, the halacha is that if a non-Jew steals money, let's say from Reuven, and then I get my hands on that money, I have to return it back to Reuven. This is a separate case where Sancheirev, it was kibush, he conquered it. So that's the machlokas, the Be'er Sheva against the Tashbetz. Okay, we'll stop here.